Let us hear the word of the Lord as recorded in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. God has spoken to us through his holy word.
Well, we're going to be looking this evening at that verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Perhaps the most loved verse in the Bible. Christians across the globe, down the ages, and spanning the generations agree. It is just 26 words in our English Bibles. It summarizes Christmas. It summarizes Christianity. Everyone loves it, and yet hardly anyone believes it. Now, I guess you're at this point suspecting that I'm exaggerating at this point, going over the top, like preachers do. But what I want to prove to you this evening is that few people believe what these verses say, including many churchgoers. And as we go, it would be good for us to each ask the question, do I really believe John chapter 3 and verse 16? The verse teaches at least three things, I think, that hardly anybody believes. One is about the gift, another about the giver, and another about the recipient of the gift, or the giftee. Apparently that's a real word, and I include it for those who like alliteration. One thing, first of all, about the gift. He gave his one and only Son. Hardly anybody believes that Jesus is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. It's school nativity time at the moment, as you know. 4 years ago, my son was the baby Jesus. This year, he was shepherd number 7. From the Son of God to 7th shepherd. That's quite a demotion, isn't it? Jesus is God's one and only Son. Fully human, but not like us. Selfless, kind, wise in his every word. Genuinely on the side of those who need him. He's what we hope to be in our very best moments. And Jesus is not a son like I'm a son. He is eternally the Son, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. That's what he claimed. That's what his miracles showed and what his disciples understood. That at that first Christmas, God was born in human flesh. God added humanity to his divinity. Not many believe that. Fewer that he is the gift that everybody needs. John chapter 3, verse 16 says that this world is perishing. You might remember those rubber tubes that you used to have on the end of the Bunsen burner at school. Perishing like that. Perishing doesn't mean ceasing to exist. Perishing means something becomes useless and hard and brittle and inflexible. There's a tombstone in Arizona which reads, "Here lies Les Moore. No Les, no more." Poor Les. But that is what people believe, isn't it? What nearly everybody believes is that death is the end. But perishing doesn't mean that. perishing means that we continue to exist for eternity when things go from bad to worse. But when God saw his perishing world heading to eternal death, destruction, and judgment, his heart was moved with pity. He had compassion and gave his son to be the saviour of the world. I once heard somebody preach on John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Afterwards, I went and asked the speaker why he didn't actually speak on the second half of that verse. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," said Jesus. Well, the preacher said, "Well, because I don't believe it. I believe there are many ways to God." And I'm showing you here that even some preachers don't believe John 3:16. But it really must be true, mustn't it? It must be true. You see, if God could make any other way, any way at all, where he didn't have to give his son, surely he would have done it. You would have done it. I would have done it. He would have done it. So there was no other way. Nativity scenes are still popular. You can find them in shopping centres and garden centres and even in your offices. And I've noticed something strange about them over these last few years. In some, the baby Jesus, it looks like he's sort of half sitting up out of the manger, a little bit like he's sort of doing some a core routine or something like that. But his arms are spread out in a cross shape. I don't know where that originated, but it shows, doesn't it, what John 3:16 is saying. For when God gave his son Jesus, he didn't give him just to teach or to work miracles, but to die. Christmas had Easter in mind. See, God gave Jesus to perish in our place. Jesus willingly endured the cross so that we could have eternal life. There's not much that's sure about this Brexit time, but one thing that is sure about Brexit is that it's creating a huge amount of anxiety and anger from many. People are rightly concerned about losing money and the security of wealth, and I understand that. But John chapter 3, verse 16 is about the possibility of losing something far more valuable: your own soul, the possibility of eternally perishing in hell. God gave his son so that you and I can avoid hell. Now, don't blame Paul or the apostles of the early church for that idea. Jesus spoke about it first, and he spoke about it freely and frequently. But who on earth believes it? Who on earth believes that without the gift of Jesus Christ, we will be condemned and damned for eternity? Even though it says it in this most loved verse, who believes it? Answer: hardly anybody. Let's go to the second thing that people don't believe, something about the giver. God so loved the world. Now, surely everybody believes that God loves the world. Kevin, you've persuaded me that nobody believes Jesus is the greatest gift, but you're going to fall at this hurdle because everybody believes that God loves the world. But the Jew didn't believe it. The Jew said that the Messiah would come to destroy the nations. To say God loved the world is shocking to the Jew, which is why John has to add verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Jew doesn't believe it, nor does the man on the street. They believe that the God of the Bible is angry. But huge sigh of relief, it's Christmas. Here comes loving Jesus to placate an angry God. An angry God mollified by a loving Jesus. I completely understand why it is that hardly anybody believes that God loves the world. The world isn't lovable, really, is it, if you think about it? There are scattered moments of brightness, but the world loves darkness. Our newspapers and our screens are full of darkness. Maybe I've just got the wrong news feed, but I find that there is little that is lovable about the world. Even at Christmas, this time of peace and goodwill to all. See, when God lifts up the rock and shines his light, well, like little creepy crawlies, the world scurries back into the darkness. I find little that is lovable about the world. The world is not lovable. More than that, I speak for myself, I find that I'm not lovable. I sometimes consider myself a pretty good chap, friendly, polite, all-round nice guy. But then there are others who know me, especially those who live with me, who think I'm cold and grumpy and selfish. And they're right. I use people, I say poisonous things, I scheme to get my own way. I'm not like that all the time, you'll be glad to know, but I'm regularly like that. The actress Mae West had it right when she said, "I used to be Snow White, but I drifted." And what does all of this say about my attitude to God, the God who made me and made you? My default is that I want nothing to do with him, actually. And I guess that you're not so different. It's no wonder that hardly anyone believes that God loves the world or loves them. In fact, if it weren't here in black and white before us, only an insane person would believe it. But according to John chapter 3, verse 16, who is the great giver? Who is the great lover of the world? God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Notice the intensity of that love, which means that he gives his one and only Son. A story is told of a family experiencing famine and facing starvation, and the hunger becomes acute, and it becomes simply unbearable for the father and mother as they hear their children pleading for food. And they reason that the only way to preserve their family is to sell one of their children into slavery. So they considered it. They had four children. Which one should be sold? Well, obviously not the first. How could they possibly sell their firstborn? And the second was the spitting image of his father, so the mother said they could never part with that one. The third was singularly like the mother, and so the father said, "I would sooner die than see that one go." And as for the fourth, he was their Benjamin, their youngest, their darling, and they couldn't part with him. And in the end, they decided it was better for all of them to die together than to part with any of their children. Do you have sympathy for that family in that situation? Well, I can see that you do. And yet God so loved us, to put it very strongly, he seemed to love us better than his own Son. And he did not spare him so that he might spare us. See, this isn't sentimental love, this is sacrificial love. God loved the unlovely. Do we believe this today? Of course not. Let's come then to the third thing people don't believe, something about the giftee, the recipient of the gift. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I think I'm persuading you that almost nobody believes the verse that everybody loves. And I don't think I'm going to have much trouble trying to prove this third thing, that almost nobody thinks that eternal life is for whoever believes. The Jews didn't believe this. They trusted in giving their obedience to God's law, not receiving a gift from God. The religious don't believe this. The religious always believe that there's a contribution that they can make to God. I used to think that God kept a record of my good and bad deeds, and he put them in a scale, and I used to think that my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds, therefore I had something to offer to God. Just how stupid was I? As if a holy God would be able to accept a sinner and dwell with a sinner. I didn't believe that salvation came to a person simply by trusting God to give that salvation to them. And hardly any religious person does. See, the religious don't believe John 3:16, nor do the irreligious. See, the irreligious don't believe the whoever believes part. A man called Richard Baxter said, "I thank God for this word, whoever." Did it read, "There is mercy for Richard Baxter"? Well, I'm so vile, so sinful, that I would have thought it must have meant some other Richard Baxter. But this word, whoever, includes the worst of all Baxters who ever lived. Whoever includes the young and the old. It has an eye towards those who feel comfortable here this evening and those who feel decidedly uncomfortable here this evening. Whoever includes those who are educated and those who are not. It reaches out to those who fit in and those who just feel rather odd and quirky. I'm grateful for this word, whoever, because whatever else I'm excluded from, this word includes me and it includes you. Almost nobody believes John 3:16. Maybe you came this evening thinking you're a believer and realize actually you're not. You don't believe that God loves the world, that he loves you. You don't believe that Jesus is the only way to God. And you don't believe that God's gift of eternal life is for whoever believes. It's better to go home saying, "I'm not a believer. I thought I was a believer, but now I realize I'm not a believer," than to go home thinking that you are a believer when you're not a believer. That's better. Of course, it's best to go home this evening a believer, to believe what I admit that almost nobody believes. The question is, are you ready for Christmas? Don't tell us, by the way, if you are, because that will annoy the rest of us who still have loads of presents to buy. And I love giving presents, but it is better to receive than give. Everyone believes that, don't they? It's better to receive than give if we're honest. We just don't say it. The kids will say it, of course. They're much more honest than us, and they're on the mark. We need to receive. And the question is, have you received the Christmas gift? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you received eternal life? Some of my friends tell their children that if they're not good, they won't get any presents. Now, they won't follow through on that. It's because they're good parents. And good parents give their children gifts, even when they're little urchins. And God has a present for all of his little urchin children. Will you unwrap it this Christmas? The world is perishing. And without Christ, you are perishing. Will you unwrap the gift? Will you believe John chapter 3 and verse 16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen.